Welcome to the Sports Resort, your home for all things sports, with your hosts G Money,
Tay,
Padre T,
and Connor. Let's get to it. Hello and welcome to a Friday edition of the Sports Resort. This is your home for all things sports. I'm your host, Gannon Cornley. Want to welcome you guys to yet another edition of the best sports podcast in the world. I'm accompanied by my co-host, Toby Todd. Want to welcome you guys. We have a great show in store for you guys today. We're going to recap a little bit of what went down in week 8 of the NFL season, and then show you what we're looking forward to in the upcoming week 9, as well as what all went down this past Tuesday on the deadline, the trade deadline. We're going to highlight what's going on currently in the World Series. Houston Astros up 3-2 in that series. It's been a wild one. We'll get you guys all caught up on the action going on in the MLB, and then we'll finish off the show with college football and what we're looking forward to with some big-time matchups coming up this upcoming Saturday. So all that and more on this week's edition of the Sports Resort. Before we get started, I want you guys to stop what you're doing, like and subscribe on the video, and definitely hit that share button. Anybody who likes sports that you know, put them on to the Sports Resort. I appreciate each and every one of you guys for all the support that you have been giving us. I apologize for not getting a show out on Tuesday. I've been a little under the weather, so, but I definitely wanted to get you guys a show this week. So without further ado, we're going to get this thing started. And we're going to start it off with the NFL. Obviously, just finished up week 8, started up week 9 after the Philadelphia Eagles took down the Houston Texans on Thursday Night Football. We're just going to kind of take a little look at where we're at currently with the NFL standings. So across the AFC East, you have the Buffalo Bills in the lead with the 6-1 record. Atop of the AFC North, you have the Ravens at 5-3. In the AFC South, you have my Tennessee Titans at 5-2. And then in the AFC West, our hometown team right here, the Kansas City Chiefs. Those last two teams I just mentioned have a major matchup on Sunday Night Football. I will be there. I hope to not be depressed at the end of that game. So we'll see. Ryan Tannehill is currently in question whether he's going to be a game-time decision, whether he'll play. But on the NFC side, you have the only undefeated team in the NFC East. You have the Philadelphia Eagles at 8-0. In the NFC North, you have the Minnesota Vikings taking full command at 6-1. In the NFC South, it's really anybody's race still, but the Atlanta Falcons find themselves at 4-4 and in first place. And who would have thunk it? In the NFC West, you have the Seattle Seahawks sitting pretty at 5-3. A whole lot of action has gone down so far. As we look into week 9, Toby, what are some of your either games and or things that you're looking for coming up?
Well, one thing I'm looking for on Sunday is a division leader, like you mentioned, a surprising division leader, the Atlanta Falcons, hosting the Los Angeles Chargers. The Chargers, this is a solid football team, but they get gashed on the ground. I mean, worst defense in yards per carry. The Atlanta Falcons, welcome back Cordero Patterson this weekend. They ran the ball well without him, with Huntley and Algier doing their part. Mariota obviously doing a good job running the offense, literally running the offense. These guys don't throw the football. They run the ball very well. I'm excited to see this matchup. I want to see if the Falcons are for real, as you said, anybody's race. I think the Saints are coming on, and that's another team that I want to talk about. Very NFC South. Happy weekend for me. Monday Night Football, the New Orleans Saints and Baltimore Ravens. That's a matchup of the AFC North division leader against a team that's very hard to play against Monday nights in the Superdome in New Orleans. A team who I feel like last week we saw them sort of get their swagger back a little bit. Alvin Kamara, he'd had a kind of a slow start to the season. Last week, 9 catches, 96 yards. He added another touchdown on the ground, too, through the air. And that game, to me, is a huge turning point in the season. Right now in the NFC South, you kind of are at a crossroads. The Bucs aren't the team we thought they were, and I think that's obvious. They've got a huge one this week against the Rams. That's a huge game for both teams. But if the New Orleans Saints win this game, say the Falcons lose this game, New Orleans Saints win this game, I believe after this week, the New Orleans Saints will actually be the favorite to win the NFC South, pending what happens on Monday Night Football. And that's a matchup that I just love. That's a feisty, trash-talking defense against one of the most electric quarterbacks that we've seen in our lifetime, Lamar Jackson. I'm pumped. The primetime games this year have really let me down. As Gannon said, he's going to the Sunday night one. I think this Monday night one is going to be very interesting. I think it's going to be very fun. I hope Andy Dalton, because it doesn't come with that same primetime juju he had a couple of Thursdays ago. But looking forward to those matchups. Looking forward to a big week from the NFC South.
Yeah, no, you make some really good points there. And, you know, obviously I'm looking forward to the game that I'll be attending. This will be my first NFL game this season. But, and another big time matchup, this is going to be a division game. How about the Buffalo Bills against the, going on the road to the New York Jets? So obviously the Jets have been a major surprise team, sitting at 5-3 right now. They obviously had a letdown last week against the Patriots where they lost that game and just got dismantled, to be honest, by the end of it. They had a pick six. They got called back on a roughing the passer call, and I don't think anything else went right for them after that play. So this is going to be kind of, for me, a test to see where the Jets are really at. Can they regroup, come home, and play the team that's currently leading their division? Because I think if the Bills win this game, the AFC, I mean, obviously they have to play the Dolphins, but I think going up 7-1 really puts the Bills in the driver's seat to go ahead and take home potentially not only the AFC in general, but for sure the division and the AFC East. And will we kind of see the Jets start to spiral out of control? Obviously, Elijah Moore, the guy that they just drafted just a season ago, upset that he's not getting the football. If they dropped a 5-4, all of a sudden now you open the door for the Dolphins to slide into that second spot in the AFC East. And I think the Jets could be going back to who we thought they were. So I'm interested to see if they're going to fight. They've been fighting so far for their coach, Robert Saleh. I want to see if he can regroup their team, get them back on it, and give, even if they compete, maybe even if they lose, but if they compete with the Bills, that still will probably give them some hope to make a playoff push. But I think if they get kind of smoked here, we could see the Jets kind of start to spiral out of control a little bit.
Yeah, and that's another interesting game too. You think about the Thursday night game we saw, that's literally best in the league versus second worst in the league. That was a 13-point spread. How about first in the division, second in the division? And the road team has an 11.5-point spread in their favor. I mean, that's how little people think about the Jets still. I think Zach Wilson holds him back, so I'm not going to hold my breath too much for him on that game. But if they show up, if they show up, that's it. That's all I'm saying. You got to be hearing fun stuff from New York media. I mean, either way, but especially if they do show up.
Yeah, no, for sure. And one last thing, too, what I'm looking forward to is just continue to see the dominance from that Miami Dolphins offense, man. I mean, they got two top five receivers that are leading in wide and receiver yards so far this season, and Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. Tyreek Hill, man, that dude is something else. I mean, how many times can we see this dude jump between two defenders, whether the ball is thrown perfect or whether the ball is severely underthrown, like we saw multiple times on Sunday for my guy Tua? This dude is just a playmaker. It's seemingly any time you need him to make a play. Like, it's honestly insane to watch. Currently on pace to have over 2,000 receiving yards this season. I feel like a lot of people called him dumb for leaving Patrick Mahomes. I didn't think that was his smartest move. But, I mean, so far, he's backed it up at least with his play. I don't know how far the Dolphins really go this season, but I think he's shown, even without Patrick Mahomes, how effective he truly can be. So I think this so far this year has been a major increase in his stock for him just as a receiver in general.
Yeah, that's going to be a tough matchup for the Bears in the midway. Shout out my guy Zach, who needed me to get the Bears on the podcast. I'm not sleeping on him this week, but tough matchup, my guy.
Yawn.
Ooh. Bears. Okay.
Bears aren't doing anything. You want to know why, Toby?
Why is that?
Because of what they had to do, not only on just last week getting rid of Robert Quinn, now Philadelphia Eagle, but what went down on the NFL trade deadline this past Tuesday. They, oh boy, the Bears are they're holding it. They're just packing it in now. They have given away their best player in Roquan Smith over to the Baltimore Ravens in exchange for a linebacker, a 2023 second round pick, and a 2023 fifth round pick. There was a record 10 trades on NFL trade deadline, by far the most that we have ever seen. It was insane to see how many people are truly trying to make a final push for what they feel is going to be their missing piece going into the final stretch of the season. What was your biggest and most impactful, you think, trade that we saw on trade deadline?
So, obviously, the most impactful trade, I'm going to go before the deadline, the most impactful is the Christian McCaffrey to the 49ers trade. I mean, that there's the argument to be made that he is the best running back in football. The first game he got major playing time with the 49ers, rush touchdown, receiving touchdown, and pass touchdown. I'm going to go in a little bit different direction, though, and I'm going to go on the day of the deadline. I love the move the Dolphins made. I like getting Bradley Chubb. I know that they're going to be paying him a whole bunch of money. They've already got the extension lined up, and they're going to be paying some of these guys so much money. But when you have an elite young talent like that, you kind of see a team that had promise like the Broncos, and this was one of the guys they were going to build off of. They underachieved, and you can snatch him up. I mean, you need somebody like a Bradley Chubb if you're going to compete in the AFC and go against these quarterback Goliaths like Mahomes, like Josh Allen. You need a guy that can get after the passer. I like this move for them. And the Broncos, they desperately needed that first-round pick. They obviously giving theirs away for Russell Wilson, which is going to turn into a pretty good pick for the Seahawks, it's looking like. They needed to get just anything back. So this was a good trade, in my opinion, for both teams. And I like what Bradley Chubb can give a team. I think the Dolphins got better as a football team at the deadline.
Yeah, I have to agree. I think that was a huge win for the Dolphins. And like you said, the Broncos also needed a first-round pick. Kind of an underrated move. They also got Chase Edmonds in that trade, which I really like. I mean, I don't think that's going to fix the Broncos' offensive issues by any means, but he's a pretty solid running back. And for a team that had their starting running back get injured and then they clearly do not trust Melvin Gordon, they immediately get a starting-level running back through a trade where they saw one of their best, if not their best, defensive player leave. So I think that was a pretty underrated piece in that trade. But by far, the Dolphins, to me, got the best of that, getting a player that's going to impact them right now. We see the most important positions right now are not the quarterback and who can go out there and get them. So adding a defensive end like Bradley Chubb is huge. A very interesting move that I honestly did not see coming was Chase Claypool to the Bears. I don't hate the move. I feel like originally Connor and I were kind of making fun of it because they gave him up for a second round pick because Chase Claypool was a second round pick. So it's just kind of like, is he worth himself essentially? And I mean, I think Chase Claypool is a nice player, but I don't think he's going to be changing any lives anytime soon in Chicago. So that wasn't my favorite. If they were going to go out and get a receiver, heck, I guess if they would have known that Calvin Ridley was on the table, I honestly would have liked that move better because I think this season's already lost for them. Go and get Calvin Ridley, and the Falcons gave up a fifth-round pick and then a 2024 second-round pick. So we're talking two drafts later, you give up a second round, and then you only have to give up next year's fifth for, in my opinion, a much better receiver when he can actually be on the field. So I don't know. I'm interested to see how Chase Claypool works in Chicago. Obviously, I think he'll be the featured receiver, but it'll be a good chance for him to act as a number one, and we'll get to see what he looks like.
Yeah, you know, honestly, I don't hate this move for the Bears. I think a lot of people clowned it because they said, well, the second round pick you got for Roquan, is what you use to get Chase Claypool. So why give up a better football player for this guy? And that's pretty disingenuous because that's not exactly how the trade worked. The Bears got back for Roquan Smith and then just that pick. But you got to remember, Chase Claypool, he's only 24. He's a big body receiver. He's by far the best receiver Fields will have played with in his career. I'm not really counting Allen Robinson because they really didn't play together. They kind of just, you know, tossed him to the wayside, and like Matthew Stafford did early in the season. But I really don't hate the move. I think you're looking second-round pick. You're taking a project guy anyhow, somebody who might work out. We see how second-round picks are working out for the Packers in the receiving room right now with Christian Watson. So get a guy who's established in Claypool. Give Justin Fields just something to look forward to moving on. Just somebody who he can throw jump balls to when he gets into distress, anything like that. So, you know, I don't know how much it's going to improve the Bears this season, but I think going forward, it's a move that kind of had to be made. And they still give themselves a lot of flexibility to go out and find other receivers to help beef them up. More help with the offensive line now that you have a receiver locked in. So I didn't hate the move. It's just not going to pay real immediate dividends.
Yeah, absolutely. One last thing that I will say, though, that will pay, I think, immediate dividends is the newly Minnesota Vikings tight end, TJ Hockenson. That was a very shocking move to me. Not only because I didn't think that he would be available, but the fact that the Lions traded TJ Hockenson within the division, that is a bold move. Really smart, I'd say, if you're the Minnesota Vikings. Hockenson's a really effective player, and you got him by giving up a couple fourth round. Now, he was worth four picks. So in total, I don't know if I would have gave up that much, but you gave up two fourth rounders, a 2023 second round, and a 2024 third round pick. So a lot of picks, but the Vikings clearly are all in on this season. And if that's the case, they added another weapon to an already pretty explosive offense. I think for at least this season being, I like the move for the Vikings.
Yeah, kind of feels like they're getting like another sort of Kyle Rudolph guy in there. So imagine some of those Vikings offenses from the past. You add a Justin Jefferson to an offense like that, you get a younger version of Kyle Rudolph. Look, this Vikings team, they're on the up and up. Connor picked a bad time to completely call it quits because they might be doing something, might be cooking something up.
He's still a Vikings fan. If they somehow made it to the Super Bowl, all of a sudden the Adrian Peterson jersey would come back out.
Oh, yeah. He defends Kirk – guys, he defends Kirk Cousins every Sunday.
Loves every Kirk.
We get a message about Kirk Cousins. I mean, we've got a Vikings fan amongst us, and I'm glad we get to talk about him on the podcast finally.
I know. We need to get him on here so we can talk about how much he loves the Vikings, but also saying he's not a Vikings fan.
Yeah, that's what this podcast needs, is more Kirk Cousins love, I'm sure.
Yeah, you won't be getting any from me.
Or myself.
But that it kind of wraps up our NFL talk. Wanted to give you guys a heads up for what's who our current leaders are within the divisions, what we kind of look forward to heading into week 9, and then of course the trade deadline. We'll speak more on it going into the next following weeks or so. We want to see how those players have impacted. Obviously they just got traded this week, so don't know how much of an impact a lot of these guys will officially make. But we'll definitely be tracking that and seeing what midseason moves maybe paid the most dividends heading into the postseason. So that'll wrap that up. Speaking of the postseason, we got to get talking about the World Series. The Houston Astros currently lead 3-2. And each game, Toby, I'll kind of let you take it away, but each game has been really, really insane. And tell us kind of how we've gotten to this 3-2 lead so far.
Well, of course, you know, the World Series, it's all about momentum. I've been saying that about the baseball playoffs. Thing is, in this World Series, momentum ceases to exist, right? And we had a huge comeback win for the Phillies in Game 1. Things are looking great. Astros come back and roll them Game 2. So you're going back to Philadelphia, you're saying, oh, better team, they're tied back up. What's going to happen now? The Phillies tie the World Series home run record for a single game beat the brakes off the Astros. Everything's grand. Oh, we couldn't be happier with our Philadelphia Phillies.
Our.
This is our team right now while they're playing Houston. This is all of our team, the Philadelphia. I think I'm speaking for everybody in the pod and everybody outside of the pod as well. And then they get no hit. They got the cheapest tickets for Philly World Series games were $1,300. And those fans went to game four up 2-1, feeling themselves combined no hitter. Unbelievable job by Christian Javier and the Astros pitching staff to even the series. And then last night, that was the best game of the World Series thus far. We kind of had everything. You know, we had late rally attempts by the Phillies. We had drama. But in the end, Ryan Pressly, the Astros closer, just too good. Just too good in the end. Castellanos couldn't put us over the top. We must have needed another, like, major event in the world going down. Maybe we'll get one before Saturday because we need this win now. Houston's going back home trying to close it out and upset every baseball fan everywhere by taking it home. But it's going to be a great pitching matchup tomorrow. It's Zach Wheeler, the Phillies' ace. He's going to have to be the ace of the staff. He's going to have to play a phenomenal game because they didn't get much yesterday from Syndergaard and the bullpen a little bit more worn. And if it goes to bullpens, I don't like the Phillies' bullpen as much as I like the Astros. So they're going to need something huge from Zach Wheeler. And last time we saw Framber Valdez, there was accusations of potential cheating with the weird glove switches, stuff like that. He takes the mound tomorrow night. It's going to be exciting. And let's go, Phils.
Yeah, let's go, Phillies. I'd said it coming into this. I thought, unfortunately, that the Phillies would lose in 4-2. And here we are. So I'm desperately hoping to be wrong. They had them. You're up 2-1. The next two games are in your house. They had the Astros. They got no hit. Waste of $1,300 for those games. And then the Astros take it 3-2 in game five. I don't know. Nothing will surprise me. I mean, this has been an insane MLB postseason. So nothing will surprise me. So if we go out there and the Phillies no hit the Astros, wouldn't even surprise me. I highly doubt that'll happen. Wouldn't even surprise me, though. So, and that's what I think this postseason has been fun. Getting to watch everything. And, of course, the hype surrounding Philadelphia right now with how the Eagles are playing. The Philadelphia Union, the Major League Soccer team, is in the championship right now. So, just you got three teams that are just absolutely killing it in Philadelphia. And then you have the 76ers, but we won't talk. James Harden's out for like a month. So, they're the 76ers.
Blew a big lead to the Knicks tonight, too. So,
yeah. Well, but hopefully we have a Sunday night game in Houston, which will honestly kind of suck because I won't be able to watch it because I'll be at the Sunday night football game. But I'll definitely be following that on my phone if I am paying attention enough. But I probably won't have a voice by the second quarter. So,
That's too intense. You're in enemy territory in Arrowhead. You gotta be dialed in.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely, I will be. But no, I can't wait to kind of give you guys my take on everything that goes down in that game. But obviously, we're all Philadelphia Phillies fans here, so we're hoping they can bring it home. Game six is Saturday night. So when this airs, you guys, make sure you tune in. This will be on this day, Saturday. The game will be the night, and obviously, if there is a game seven, it'll be Sunday night in Houston. But that'll do it for our MLB talk. Getting into college football now. And what we're looking to is week 10. We have what I believe is the game of the season on the horizon. College football rankings are officially out. And a shock to many, including myself, number one was the Tennessee Volunteers sitting at 8-0. Hard to argue with it. Followed by number two, Ohio State, three, Georgia, and four, Clemson. So this heading into this week, if for those of you who do not know, it is Tennessee at Georgia, 2:30 Saturday afternoon. We have number one at number three in a massive game, potentially going to be actually not even potentially. This game is pretty much going to decide who goes to the SEC championship in the East. So this is going to be huge. And the thing is, it's funny because the loser, SEC teams that usually have one loss and don't make the SEC championship game, sometimes somehow find a way to sneak in. So you got to watch for who ends up losing this game and how they follow the rest of the season. But monumental game there. We have another major top 10 game as well between the Alabama Crimson Tide, and they will be in Death Valley against the LSU Tigers. A 6-10 matchup. Last time we saw LSU on the field, they smoked Ole Miss. Alabama still, I feel like, licking their wounds a little bit from their Tennessee loss, but they're obviously still very much in play here. So that'll be a very big game to watch. Big 12 country, we got Texas Longhorns playing at Kansas State in the Little Apple. I'm pretty excited to watch that game as well. I think that that's going to be a really phenomenal game and going to show who's kind of in the true class of the Big 12 in that game. We have a couple more. There's a couple more top 25 matchups, but tell me, what is obviously Tennessee and Georgia the biggest story? What are you looking for in that game? And is there any other game that you're has your eye close on?
So this is by far the game to talk about this weekend is this Tennessee Georgia game. Now, going in between the hedges, it's always going to be hard to win at Georgia. I feel like Georgia at the beginning of the year was kind of sleepwalking through people. They were really excited to play Oregon. We saw what happened in that game, 46-point win. Then they kind of sleptwalked. They were having close games with Kent State at Missouri, playing these teams close. Then you see them last week. They play Florida. They get things back on track, but there were still lulls, right? They go up 28-3. Florida comes back to make it 28-20 before Georgia ends up pulling away for the win. Georgia's going to have to play full 60 minutes here, but they have the guys to do it. And I understand how great Tennessee's looked this year. That game against Alabama, they won the absolute thriller with Hendon Hooker in the offense, and everybody thinks this is just going to be – I think the narrative right now is that this is just going to be explosive offense versus shutdown defense. But what I'm looking for is actually the Georgia offense. Stetson Bennett, fun fact, and I just heard this, they were talking about it on ESPN earlier, for as good as Hendon Hooker's been this year, Stetson Bennett has more passing yards than Hooker on the season. This Georgia offense is explosive. This Georgia offense, and everybody talks about Hyatt, the number of touchdowns, and I love that. I am huge on Brock Bowers, the tight end out of Georgia. They really have two first-round NFL tight ends on the team, which is not fair for a college team to have that. But Brock Bowers, if he has a big game, Georgia is going to win this game. And the most fun part about this game for me is that whoever loses this game, and I'm rolling with Georgia at home. I don't know if they're going to cover this 8-point spread, but I'm going with Georgia at home to win the game. But whoever loses this game then becomes, I would assume, that team's biggest fan the rest of the way, because this team will get in. Whoever loses this game will get in, assuming that other team runs the table and wins the SEC championship. Because we've seen it happen where one-loss SEC team doesn't get to go to the conference championship, kind of sits behind, watches that team win the conference championship, and then fills their spot. And so it'll be an interesting dynamic after that. The other big game, to me, this decides a spot in the Big 12 championship. I know that there's a lot of football to be played. TCU's looking like they're going to clinch a spot. Texas at Kansas State is going to be the battle for second place by the end of the year, in my opinion. This game is going to decide it. And after what I saw last week, I'm rolling with Kansas State. I get Texas is the more talented team. Everybody loves Texas quarterback. They might have the best running back in the country. Texas is favored with a 3-loss team. Favored going into Manhattan, Kansas, where the Wildcats just won by 48 the week prior. I'm not going to say who they beat, but they won by 48 the week prior.
Oklahoma State.
And Texas, a 2.5-point favorite. Give me Kansas State. I'm interested to see if Adrian Martinez is healthy, who they go with. But I really loved Will Howard's game. I mean, they were beating the crap out of TCU before he got hurt. They can throw the ball with this guy. They've got two good receivers on the outside, Knowles and Warner. Obviously, you have Deuce Vaughn. Look, this is a great game. There's a lot of talent in this matchup, too. As much talent as we're going to see down in Athens, I think there could be a similar amount of offensive talent on display in Manhattan this weekend. I like Kansas State's receivers. You've got to worry about Deuce Vaughn. It should be a very fun matchup. Two electric teams and a spot in the conference championship on the line. You know, give me that. No offense to Alabama and LSU's rivalry, but these are the two biggest games of the weekend.
I would have to agree with you. I think Alabama, LSU have the names. I honestly think Alabama is going to kind of roll LSU, in my personal opinion.
Agreed.
But I think, yeah, we're pretty much going to see who's going to decide who's going to the SEC championship game from the East. And then, like you said, who's going to finish second place in the Big 12 and then get a chance to play TCU. Obviously, TCU and K-State played a phenomenal game. So we definitely want to see that again, potentially. I'm excited to see where we're at. College football, this is where it gets really exciting because I feel like the first couple of weeks you kind of see the teams that we usually see smacking a lot of teams around, but then you kind of get some surprises and some shockers. This year, Tennessee, obviously, I think the biggest shocker to most people, starting the season off unranked, and now they're the number one team in the country. So I look forward to that game. I think Georgia will win as well. I am taking Tennessee to cover. I've already put that in my parlay. Tennessee will cover this game. They're a +8. Give me that all day long. But I do think Georgia being at home will end up getting the win. But like I said, you can't sleep on Tennessee because if Georgia goes on to win the SEC championship, Tennessee's just going to sit there as a one-loss team. And you're going to see somebody, inevitably happens every year, one team will shockingly lose. Ohio State and Michigan also have to play each other coming up. Two teams that are right there at the top. One of them has to lose, potentially, and then the winner is going to go to the Big Ten championship. And if that person loses, shockingly, that just opens up the floodgates for everybody. So we see it every single year. So the loser of this game, whether it's Tennessee or Georgia, is still going to be very much in play here. Then
Notre Dame.
What's that?
Going to be a big old Notre Dame fan later that night.
Yeah, they'll definitely need Clemson to get out of there. But pretty much at that point, everyone else controls their own destiny. Ohio State, Michigan, Clemson, they all control their own destiny. So we'll have to see where it goes. But I am excited to cover that. And when we get back to you guys on next Tuesday's show, can't wait to reveal who won that game and what our overall thoughts were. But that'll do it for our college football section as we kind of wrap up this show. Toby, do you have any final thoughts?
Yeah, you know, I haven't listened to Drake and 21 Savage's new album yet. But I would say I'm getting mixed reviews. And they're all through TikTok. So take that for what you will. But apparently we're getting back to, great 21 Savage and very zesty Drake. I guess the opening song, Drake is telling 21 Savage, do your thing, 21, do your thing. And I think Drake needed that. I think Drake needed to get back to his old zesty self a little bit. That's my only final thought is I'm interested in this album. I'll probably listen to it tonight. I hope the memes are true, man. I really just hope that Drake is what they're portraying him on TikTok to be.
I heard 15 Drake. That's back when we were in high school. That's dangerous.
Whoa, that's a long time ago. Drake's getting old.
You gotta send this man to retirement.
Yeah, but he goes out on his own terms, not like Kanye West retirement.
Oh, that's just brutal. That is brutal. My final thought, and not to end on such a sour note, but sticking in the rap game, RIP, man, to Take Off. Such an awful story. Such a terrible thing to wake up to the other day. Man, breaking up the Migos that way. And I know him and Offset already weren't on great terms. So just my final thought is, you know, keep your loved ones close, man. You never know, you know, the last time you'll see somebody. So just always end on, you know, a good note, man. That's just so sad. But, you know, prayers and thoughts and prayers with him and his family and everyone kind of involved. So, but no, I was a big Migos fan and really liked the music that they produced. So hate to see that Takeoff's no longer with us. So that's my final thought. But that'll do it for this edition of the Sports Resort. Again, I want to thank you guys for listening in. Wanted to get you guys a show in going into the weekend, everything that we're looking forward to coming up. So you guys continue just to listen in, hit that like, share, and subscribe button for us. We really, really appreciate all the support everyone's been showing us. With that being said, you guys have a great rest of your weekend. We'll be back next Tuesday with a show. Tighten up, baby. Let's go.